But the falling away is already in process. Falling away. It's not a falling away. There's a specific, the falling away. What falling away is it? What does it mean? It's the falling away from the truth of the Word of God, the essentials of the faith of Christianity found in the Word of God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good morning. We're delighted to have you joining us this morning. Pastor Bill's study of Revelation continues today, and Pastor has titled this next message, Mystery Babylon. Let's join the service.
As I always say, I open every service sermon here in the book of Revelation with this thought, that it is, unfortunately, the most neglected book in the Bible. And in many chapters, it is also, without a doubt, some of the most difficult chapters in the Bible. Amen? But you know, God doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to be good students of the Word of God. He wants us never to neglect any of the 66 books in His Bible. And He wants us to grow and to learn and to understand things that are coming and things that are future. Now, we already know that we win. Amen? But in the midst of all this, we see the horrible things that are coming upon this planet. And we left off last time, of course, with the last judgments of God, the seven bowl judgments of God. And they are now complete, okay? It's all over with. And the great global earthquake, man, it shook the world and rearranged the world and so forth. And the islands are gone. The mountains are gone. It's just a really good place to be. Amen? Yeah. So God, it seems, like I said, He's purged, it seems, the earth. He's washed it. He's cleansed it. He's rearranged it geographically and all other ways. And He's done so because we are now approaching the second coming, which will lead to the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000 years. So it's being prepared for the return of Christ. Amen? So when we get here into our sections of 17 and 18, they have already occurred, all right? They occurred during, at least they had to have happened during the seventh bowl judgment, at least. And the reason I say that is over in, what is it, chapter 15, I believe it is, verse 1. It says, in these the wrath of God is complete. So when the final bowl judgments, when they were poured out, God's wrath is done. Amen? Now, so when we're going to see about Revelation 17 and 18, we're going to get into that, but those events have already occurred, but they're so important, God wants us to know about those two chapters. Very, very, very important. So when we think about, say, Babylon, you know, Babylon is the second most mentioned city in Scripture. I believe that it's mentioned at least, 287 times. But there's one other city that's mentioned more, and we know what that is. That, of course, is Jerusalem. So as we look at John's vision, you know, the fall of Babylon, all these things, I want you to just look back, if you don't mind, in chapter 16, there in verse 18. Let me just read that as we set everything up about Mystery Babylon this morning. It says in verse 18 of chapter 16, John says, oh, there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake and a mighty and great earthquake that has not occurred since men were upon the earth. Remember, so the entire earth was being arranged or rearranged, if you will, preparing for the millennial kingdom. And it says, and now that great city, I believe that to be Jerusalem, was divided into three parts. That's Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. When Jesus returns at the second coming, His feet touch down upon Mount Olivet, and then the great earthquake occurs and the land is split in two. And it says, watch this now, and the cities of the nations, they all collapse, they all fell everywhere, all over the world. The cities are just gone. Now look at the latter end of it. And great Babylon was remembered before God to do something, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, I want you to listen closely this morning as I set up where we're going. Revelation 17, okay, religious Babylon. Revelation 18, commercial Babylon. Now, religious Babylon is led by the false prophet. Commercial Babylon is led by the Antichrist, amen? However, there are those who say there are not two Babylons, there's one Babylon. Well, you know what, does it really matter? No, really, now I want you to think about that. We spend so much time on things that we will never, ever discover. People write books about the Antichrist. They don't know who the Antichrist is. Do you hear me? If I'm going to waste my time, I'm not going to waste it on trying to discover something that is undiscoverable. I want to know at least, Lord, in what I don't understand, what I can't find in Scripture, tell me what I really need to see in a text that is so debatable and that is so difficult to study out. I just want to dig in and find the truth that God wants for us today, this very moment in this generation. Does that make sense? Very, very important to me. So here's the thing. God has done something in these 18 incredible verses. Now, he may not do that to you, but he's done it for me. Now, I'm not saying that he's partial, he loves Bill more than you. I'm just saying I'm a weird person. And when I got to this last Sunday, when I walked out of the pulpit last Sunday, I was so moved that when I went to my office, I was nearly in tears because of what I saw from Scripture. And so when I look at this, this in wisdom that God gives us in these 18 verses we're going to cover, you know, and he does so we will in at least try to understand really what that mystery Babylon is. Can I tell you something in my own heart? Mystery Babylon is not really a mystery. Boy, but everybody says it is. But the Bible, I believe, explains to us so clearly what that mystery is. So when we start thinking about these cities we're going to look into, you know, people say, oh, Bill, that's not Rome, that's Jerusalem. Oh, Bill, that's not Jerusalem, it's Babylon. Do you follow me? I don't really care which city it is. I'm a student of the Word of God. I will do my best to always teach it accurately and faithfully. Amen? But that is not the main point of these two chapters, especially chapter 17 concerning Mystery Babylon. So are you with me now? All right. Now, let's cover verse 1 and following. It says, and then one of the seven angels who had, everyone say had, the seven bowls. He doesn't have them anymore. Why does the angels not have them anymore? Thank you, great students. It's been poured out. So he had the seven bowls, and well, he came and he talked with me, meaning John. And look what he said to John. Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. So there is an invitation after the seven bowls have been poured out, given to John. He says, I want you to come and see. I want to show you the judgment, not on the harlot. He says, oh, the great harlot. And I want you to immediately take note of where this great harlot, where she sits. What's those words? She sits on what? Many waters. Drop down, please, hold your place. Now go to verse 15. And he said to me, the angel said to John, hey, the waters which you saw, meaning in verse 1, the waters which you saw in verse 1, where the harlot sits. Now look what he says the waters are. The waters are peoples and multitudes and nations and what? And tongues, languages. So what is he saying here? Well, he's saying this great harlot, this mystery, if you will, her authority obviously is global, okay? It's over the entire earth, and she's in bed with the world, and the world is lovingly in bed with her. Now, the great harlot, of course, is this, whatever it is, it's the beast worldwide religious system. and every unbeliever on earth will be connected and has to be committed to this worldwide demonic religious system. Now look at verse 2. It says, now with whom this great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth, the top of the top, the kings of the earth, look what they've done, committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth, all the people, were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Okay. Now, that's not talking about physical fornication, okay? It's talking about spiritual adultery, okay, which is idolatry. Now, we'll get more of that in a minute. So with all that being said, we already know that all who dwell upon the face of the earth will worship the beast, the image of the beast, amen? The dragon, the devil, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, we've already learned that. Now, when the true church is removed, the rapture, the one who restrains, who keeps evil in check, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not be removed, but he will lift the restraint, and then evil and sin will go rampant. It's going to go full throttle all around the world. Man, wickedness is going to be unleashed like never before because the one who restrains is no longer restraining. Does that make sense? The church is now in heaven, all right? So the fallen world during the great tribulation period, oh, loved one, they're going to be intoxicated. They're going to be out of control. They're going to be drunk. Anything goes. Why? It says, look at it, because they are drunk with the wine of whose fornication? Her fornication. Now go to verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, desert, wasteland, if you will. And look what he saw. And I saw a woman sitting, or literally riding, it doesn't matter, sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy. In other words, that blaspheme God, that elevate men, women, whatever, to the divine state, if you will, like Augustus Caesar, I'm a god or whatnot. So full of blasphemy, names of blasphemy. Now, and look what they had, having seven heads, 10 horns. Now, the scarlet beast is who? Well, or let's go back to, well, chapter 12, verse 3. He's the great dragon. Amen. The great fiery red dragon. Yes, Antichrist, but he is also the devil because it says in the description of him in 12:3 of Revelation, he has seven heads and 10 horns. But if you go to chapter 13, verse 1, the Antichrist is going to have the same one. Amen. So we're talking about the same person. So this woman, this great harlot, the false prophet, he sits on the scarlet beast. What does that mean? It means that the scarlet beast, the devil, whatever, the Antichrist, is her entire support system. She is not his support system. He is her support system. And then it says here that having seven heads. Now, what are the seven heads? We'll talk about the 10 horns later, but let's just look at the seven heads. Go to verse 9. It says in verse 9, it says, now here is the mind which has wisdom. And boy, we need wisdom. It says the seven heads are seven what? Okay, so they're mountains. Literal mountains, by the way. Now, they are seven mountains on which the woman, the great harlot, okay, where she sits. Now, in context that we're reading, and historically in context, we always interpret first historically, amen? Because that's when it was written. Now, when John penned this, when the Holy Spirit gave him this information and he wrote it down, there was only one city at that time, and John knew what that city was that was called the City of Seven Hills, okay? And we know that that city is called Rome because Rome was built upon seven hills. Catholic Encyclopedia says this. Well, it says it's within the city of Rome, and it's called the City of Seven Hills. The entire area of the Vatican State proper is confined. A Catholic apologist, Carl Keating, says this. Rome has long been known as Babylon, and he claims Peter's statement in 1 Peter 5:13, where he says the church in Babylon greets you. Now, when I taught that, I said that could be his wife and so forth, but I said it also could be Rome. And that's what Keating says. He says, this Catholic apologist says, Rome has always been known as Babylon. It's a code word. So, okay, maybe. That's what it says. Is it Rome? I think it might be. But what if it's not? Is it going to change anything? Not really, but we're good students. We work hard. We try to figure it all out. Now, in verse 4, now this woman, now we know it's a city that sits upon the waters, all the peoples around the earth. It's also a place that's on the seven hills, a powerful place called Rome, if it is Rome. It says, now this woman was arrayed in certain colors. Look at this, arrayed in purple and scarlet. Now, these are literal colors as we're reading here. It's not just symbolism, okay? So we know that purple and scarlet in that day, of course, and even today, but they were symbols of government and royalty, nobility. We know that scarlet is also a symbol of Satan, scarlet beast. Also, it is a symbol of sin, isn't it? Though our sins be as scarlet, remember? Okay. Now, these two colors, the purple and the scarlet, okay, they're also at that time, and I guess they are still are today, are actually the colors of Rome. Do you remember, if you go and study out your Bible, whenever the Lord, when they arrested him and they brought him in, those wicked Roman soldiers, they beat him and all of that. It says in Matthew 27:28, remember it says that the Romans, the soldiers, they stripped the Lord Jesus and they put a scarlet robe on him. John's gospel in John 19:2 says when they stripped him, they put a purple robe upon him, the colors of Rome and government. Now, and it says also, watch this now, and adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls. Now, gold is a precious commodity today, isn't it? Oh my gosh, how would you like to have about a ton of gold? Yeah. And so gold is precious stones and pearls. What does that speak of? Well, that speaks of two things, a lot of money, great wealth, and luxury. Amen? Scarlet is the color, if you will, and I don't mean this offensively, it's just the truth. Scarlet is the color adopted by Roman Catholicism. Now, some of you may be saying or listen live or maybe on the radio, or you are here. So, Bill, are you getting ready to tell me that the Vatican is a great harlot? No, I'm not going to tell you that, but here's what I will tell you about being rich. It says here, and this is from the Vatican, it says, the Vatican is the smallest independent state in the world. It houses the most secret bank in the world. It says the Vatican owns 20% of the real estate in Italy. Isn't that something? It says whose worth is estimated, they don't know, no one knows, at over $15 billion. It also claims to be the worldwide head of Christianity. It's not. Okay, now, are they the richest church in the world? No, there's somebody richer. Do you know who they are? Do you know that there is a church in the world today? You know who they are, you just may not remember, but you know how much they are worth right today? They have in their vault, their bank, over $300 billion. It's the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. Think about that. Ed Hansen, I met him with Pastor Chuck. Pastor Thomas was with me. We were at a pre-tribulation conference, and Tim LaHaye was at the same table with me. It was really cool. Pastor Chuck, Tim LaHaye, Ed Hansen. I felt like I was royalty, you know. So embarrassed. I was. I wouldn't even want to lift my head because all the other pastors were behind me. What's Bill doing up there, you know? Well, anyway, Ed's gone home to be with the Lord, and I have some of his books and so forth, and he said this, the religion of the last days will be materialism and commercialism of the worst sort. And what is frightening, Ed said, is that it's already here now. Boy, that is a true word. Now, look at the latter part of verse 4. Now, she was there adorned with gold, precious stones, and so forth, but she had something. Having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So this golden cup is beautiful, no doubt. I mean, it looks valuable, it looks desirable, and so forth. But what is hidden is that inside it is all the demonic filth, all that is false, all that appeals to self. In that cup is filled with everything that offends God, but everything that appeals to man. And it does something to the world when they participate in it. They go crazy, spiritually crazy. Let me give you the scripture, Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged, or they're actually mad. Man, look at verse 5. This woman here, and on her forehead was a name written. Now, back in historically, Roman harlots would have the name of their owner or their name upon their forehead. So on her forehead, it says a name was written, and here's the name, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of what? Harlots. Did you notice that's plural? That means idolatry, all that is false worship, she's the mother of, and of the abominations, plural, of the earth. Now, we'll come back to that in just a moment. I want you to go on to verse 6. And he says, and I saw the woman, this city, meaning that we just found the one on seven hills, and look what she was doing. She was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, meaning the tribulation martyrs in the Great Tribulation period. Now, I hold the view that about this verse here that saints and martyrs are two distinct groups, okay? And it's before and after the time of Christ. But I want you to see that this city is not only a harlot, this city is a murderer. It's vicious, vicious, vicious people. And they're intoxicated, all right, but they are intoxicated with the blood of those who believe in Christ Jesus. Now, we've already covered the Inquisitions and all of that, the history of the church. You know, the history of the church, loved one, whether it's Catholicism or Protestants, it's a dark picture, isn't it? It's a very, very dark. And there, of course, is a city that is known for the great Inquisitions, who actually created the Inquisitions, and we know that to be the Roman Empire, if you will, the Vatican, whatever. So every citizen in the Roman Empire, historically back then, they were required to be a Roman Catholic. I'm talking about a theology now, not a people, okay? And for 500 years, they murdered millions upon millions of people, and true biblical Christianity became totally illegal. A Christian, someone who believed in the Bible, you were not allowed to read the Bible, and you certainly weren't allowed to teach the Bible. That was only reserved for the laity in the church. Does that make sense? We've already covered all that, remember? And so, for example, take the Spanish Inquisition from 1790 to 1792. Do you know that 300,000 people that opposed Rome were burned at the stake? Christians. They just believed the Bible. Amen? Just the Bible. And as a Catholic historian writes about the Spanish Inquisition, a Catholic historian, he says this, when Napoleon conquered Spain in 1808, an army officer found the torture chambers blocked off by the inquisitors. Under the floor, the soldiers found the torture chambers full of prisoners, all naked, all insane. The hardened French troops were so devastated by what they found, they emptied the torture chambers and blew it to pieces. Now, we know that city to be Rome who did all that, okay? Now, look at verse 6. Listen to John. And when I saw her, when I saw Mystery Babylon, when I saw the great harlot, when I saw the mother of all these abominations, when I saw the great city, when I saw all the blood of all the martyrs that died for Jesus Christ, look what he says. Man, I marveled with great amazement. Now listen carefully. This is a very, very important verse, and I'll tell you why. John did not say this about anything else in the book of Revelation. When he saw the Antichrist, when he saw the false prophet, when he saw all the bold judgment, it didn't blow him away. But when he saw her, he was totally blown away. Only here in the book of Revelation. Now, we're going to kind of speed things up to get to where I want to go, okay? Look at verse 7. Now, but the angel said to me, John, I'm adding, of course. John, why do you marvel? And here's what he does. I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. Again, that's Revelation 13:1 or Revelation 12:3, okay? The beast that you saw was, is not, will ascend out of the bottomless pit. That's the abuso, the place of demons. And where's he going to go? Perdition. That's the lake of fire. That's hell, loved one. He does that at the second coming. Now, he says, and those who dwell on the earth will marvel. The unbelievers will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. They're going to marvel. Here it comes. When they see the beast that was, the beast that is not, and the beast that yet is. And I'm adding it for clarification. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of what happened over in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, and that is when the Antichrist received a deadly wound to the head by a sword, and apparently he died, and then he was resurrected. Now, whether that was real or counterfeit, I'm not going to debate the issue, but I do know this. If you have a dead Antichrist and you have a true devil, he can certainly possess a dead body, and he can make that body do whatever he wants. He can make it, in other words, he can enter into the image of the beast, the likeness, remember, that man made to worship. So maybe that's what happened. Verse 9, it says, and here is the mind which has wisdom. We've already covered this. The seven heads are seven mountains in which the woman sits. Now, I believe that to be Rome. Now, verses 10 and 11 are the most debated in all of the book of Revelation, loved one, and I understand why. So it says, the seven heads and the seven mountains on which the woman sits, these are also seven kings. Now, there are those that say these seven kings, they're going to start with the Caesars and count the seven, but it won't work that way to me, okay? So it says, these are the seven kings. Five have fallen. Now, here's what I believe this means. It's talking about nations. So we would start out with the nations that have fallen. We would go to Egypt. Then we would go to Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, okay? So the five have fallen. And then he goes, one is. Well, who would be the next kingdom? Rome, okay? So Rome would be the present kingdom in John's days. And the other has not yet come. Meaning the Antichrist with the man of sin who comes, and then there's the revived, part of the revived Roman Empire, because he comes out of the sea. Remember the Gentile nations. Now, and the other has not yet come, but when he comes, he must continue how long? A short time, meaning the last half of the tribulation period. That's the Antichrist. And the beast that was, is not, himself is also the eighth and is of the seven. Does that confuse you? That means me too. But he's speaking of the Antichrist, his death and his resurrection, and because he's going to perdition, he's going to hell. Now, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Now, watch this. But they don't have a kingdom yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings to do something, to rule, loved one, with the beast, okay? And their power is going to be very brief. This is at the very end. And these kings, are the one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. They serve him completely. Now watch this. These, they're going to make war with the Lamb. That's Armageddon. We've already covered that. See, this has already occurred, what I'm reading. And the Lamb will overcome them. He's the Lord of lords, King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Those who are with Jesus, yes, they're called, chosen, and faithful. Why? We're already in heaven, and we're coming back with the Lord at the second coming. Amen? Okay. Now, then he said to me, now the waters which you saw where the harlot sits, did we already discover where that is? There are those that say it's Babylon, because Babylon is on the Euphrates. Okay, maybe you're right. I think it is going to be Rome, okay? And there's peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now watch. And then the 10 horns you saw on the beast, the last world political ruler, the Antichrist, what's going to happen? These will hate the harlot. They will make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, burn her with fire. Now, this is very important. Man did this to the religious system. Are you following me? In other words, the worldwide religious system, boy, it's about to be replaced. It's going to be gone, loved one. And what's it going to be replaced with? Beast worship, satanic worship. Loved one, listen, religious Babylon is only for a short season in the Great Tribulation period. It's not for the whole thing, and it's only a means to the end for the Antichrist. He uses it to get what he wants, and that is for the whole world to worship him and him only. Amen? We've already learned all of those things. So when the false prophet, that religious system, that Babylonian religious system, whatever it is, when Satan goes, I don't need you anymore, now I've got it. They're going to be completely destroyed. Now, so he uses that system of worship to not only gain the whole world, but also for the whole world, now they worship him. That's what he has always wanted. Amen? Now, I want to say something, and I'm not saying I'm right, but it seems to me that verse 16 doesn't take place toward the end, that verse 16 actually takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. And I say that maybe because, remember, in the middle of the tribulation period, do they set the image of the likeness of the beast up in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem? Yes. Jesus said, when you see the abomination that make desolation, you that are in Judea, flee unto the mountains. So now that he has that worship, because it's made in his likeness, does that make sense? He no longer needs that false religious system because, see, he buddies up with that when he comes as a man of peace in Revelation chapter 6. Does that make sense? When everybody says, who is this guy? He's so charismatic. He's got all the answers. Well, see, that's, he uses him in the beginning. But after that image is set up, he doesn't need this system. He doesn't need any of it at all. Now, with all that being said, look what happened in verse 17. For God has put into their hearts, not their minds, but into their hearts, to fulfill his purpose and to be of one mind and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. So God has not put evil in their hearts. God has taken the evil that's already in their hearts to fulfill his will and carry out his plans. Verse 18, and the woman, this Babylonian religious system, if you will, the mother of all harlots, whom you saw is that great city, Rome, maybe, which reigns over the kings of the earth, the one who has the power and who has for centuries back through their history, who can crown a king or uncrown a king. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we have now the information. I want you to return to verse 5, please. Verse 5, and on her forehead, it says, was written, a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, plural, and of the abominations, plural, of the earth. Okay, Mystery Babylon, loved one, is the birth mother of all the world's idolatries. She is the mother of idolatry. She is the mother of all false worship in the world that man has ever devised or the wicked one has ever devised. Babylon mystery religion is the fountainhead. It is the root of every false religion that has ever been on planet Earth. Now listen, no one on this planet knew that or would know that unless God had just told us. Do you understand? Now, so the Babylonian religious system, I want you to catch this now, because people think it was created, it came about in the Great Tribulation period. That's not where it started. And we have to understand that, loved one. The mother of harlots, that idolatry, false worship, it's not really just Rome or whatever it might be. But so you say, well, Bill, okay, where did it begin? How did it begin? And why did it begin? If you want to, you can turn in your Bibles to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and look at chapter 10, verse 8 with me. If not, just follow along as I read. After the flood, now the flood's already occurred, Genesis 10, 8. It says, Cush beget Nimrod. That word means the rebel, if you will. That was the great grandson of Noah. All right, he beget Nimrod. And he began, or he set out to be a mighty one on the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, man like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his what? Kingdom. First mentioned in the Bible. First mentioned. Not God's kingdom. The beginning of his kingdom. After Noah, loved one. The beginning of his kingdom was what? There it is. Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh. In the land of Shinar, which is, of course, became Syria and Assyria and Babylon, okay? There in modern-day Iraq, Baghdad and all that. So the land of Shinar, there, Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia means, literally in that language, between two rivers. That would be the Tigris and the Euphrates. Now, if you saw Babylon during Nebuchadnezzar's time in 600 BC, which was the greatest world power in all of the world, the Euphrates actually ran through that whole area on each side. It was enclosed this incredible kingdom. And when you, to get in, they would open the gates, you would go into that incredible facility, and you would walk toward the gates of Ishtar, and that's how you actually entered into the city proper itself. The walls were so thick, four chariots could ride on top all the way around it. It was the largest facility on earth, the most powerful facility on earth. It was unbelievable, loved one. So there in Mesopotamia, the land of Shinar, that was the beginning of his kingdom there at Babel. Now, Nimrod, you call him the first empire building or whatever, but he had this kingdom, and this kingdom was anti-God. Anti-God. It wasn't for God. So Nimrod is the first one to introduce idolatry into the world. Go to chapter 11 now, in verse 1. It says, now the whole earth was one language. Wouldn't that be easy today? One language, one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east. Now that means as they journeyed away from where the ark rested on Mount Ararat. All these people and Nimrod and all of them, they journeyed away and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, that's future Babylon, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and bake or burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build what? Ourselves a city, a government. He says, come, let ourselves build a tower, that's religion, whose top is in the what? In the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, not God, let us make a name for ourselves. Why? Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. What they built today, we call a ziggurat. And if you went to that area today of Babylon and so forth, there's over 20 ruins that can be found there. And on the ruins, and you can look, this is true, right now, you can go. On one of the ruins, it says the Bur of Nimrod, or really that means the palace of Nimrod. So there he was doing all this. And if you went there today in Shinar, some of the ziggurats were 198 feet tall, and they were usually built like on 4 acres, and they were built in 7 stages to where you have a large, and it gets a little smaller, then it gets a little smaller, and then it gets a little smaller until it gets to the 7th stage. That's where the priest would go. And that was up there was the zodiac, all the planets. The Babylonians were the greatest mathematicians and the greatest astrologer, study of the stars of any nation on earth, and they transferred all that to all the other nations. And they were an incredibly intelligent people. If you study out cuneiform means wedge writing. There's 400,000 of those cuneiform tablets have been found. And the reason they didn't deteriorate is because they would put them in the mud. The mud would dry, remember? And mud doesn't deteriorate like parchments. And oh, the things that we've discovered, they're mathematical. I'm going to get in trouble and go too long, so let me just throw that away. I don't have time to talk about it. So with all of that being said, it was just unbelievable, the things that were there. And so they started worshiping the stars, the moon, the constellations, astrology, all of that came from them. So the Tower of Babel, Nimrod is the founder of the Babylonian religion, of all the idolatry, all of the false worship. Look at verse 5 quickly. But the Lord came down to the city, the tower which the sons of men had built, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, all, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they purpose to do will be withheld from them. So Babylon is what man then and today can do without God. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Come, God says, oh, let us go down, confuse their language that they may not understand another speech. So the Lord scattered abroad them all over what? The face of the whole earth. They ceased building the city. Therefore, it's called Babel. Babel to them meant the gate of God. But God says, no, it means confusion, okay? So it was called Babel because there the Lord confused the language of how many on earth? All the earth. Now watch. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of how much of the earth? Now that just told us something. That just told us how all the systems of idolatry spread from Babylon to all of the other nations. Those that left, they took that system of worship with them into all of the nations. Loved one, I'm going to tell you something. Those who believe that just that it's all about the Roman Catholic Church in the last days and all that, can I tell you that all the apostate Protestant teaching, it's all of it. It's just not one group. It's everything that is false. Does that make sense? Oh, that is so, so important, loved one. So from Mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots came what? Well, study it out. I dare you to study it out. How about Confucianism? I don't know if I said it right. Buddhism. I mean, all those Hinduism, shamanism, astrology, witchcraft, all of those things came out of Mystery Babylon at the very beginning. It spread all over the whole earth. One of the greatest false teachings that is still with us, even right this minute, started all the way back in the land of Shinar. And that is this. Nimrod married a woman called Semiramis. Okay, Semiramis was worshipped as the queen of heaven. She was worshipped as the mother god, if you will. And she gave birth to a man named, a boy, baby, called Tammuz. Tammuz died, and then he was resurrected and so forth. You know, you need to study all of that out. But mother-child worship began where? Right there in Babylon. And it spread to every nation on earth, loved one. You need to study all of that out. You know, listen, even in Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 8, verse 14, when God is showing Ezekiel, says, no, come here, look at this. And God shows Ezekiel, women that are weeping. And guess who they're weeping for? Not God. They're weeping for Tammuz. See, all of that, the Israelites got into all that false worship, all of those things, love, and it was horrible. Guess what the sign of Tammuz is? The Ishtar egg. You didn't get it, did you? Never mind. So here it comes. They spread all over the world. Now the Babylonians, they worshiped the mother goddess as Ishtar. Let me read it. The Phoenicians, Astaroth, Egyptians, Isis, Greeks, Aphrodite, Romans, Venus. And guess what happened? And talking about mother, son worship. In 413 AD, who came about and who came then? It was Mary. Oh, loved one, listen, Mary is blessed among women, but not above women. Oh, what a great woman. Do you understand? It's not in God's word, loved one. Oh, we have to be careful. You say, Bill, you're beating up a people that love God. I'm talking about a theology. I love people, but I love God's word. Now, so with all of that being said, Ham, the son of Noah, he begat, the son of Ham was Cush, and he begat Nimrod, the grandson of Noah. Listen to me now. Noah lived 350 years after the flood. He knew Nimrod. Nimrod knew Noah. They talked. He knew about the ark. Matter of fact, Nimrod probably saw the ark. Do you understand? We don't know all that happened, but we know this. I can assure you that Noah told Nimrod, I don't know what you're doing. I'm not trying to add to Scripture, but I am saying this. Noah believed in God. Noah trusted God. Nimrod, he knew all about God. His followers knew all about God. But you know what? They left the true knowledge of the worship of the living God, and they created the Babylonian mystery religious system. Now listen carefully. I said all of that to say this. If you have an ear to ear, and I know you do, I love you, please open your heart right now. Because last Sunday when I concluded, I went to my office. I was upset, spiritually upset, not like mad or anything like that, hurting. Because I realized, you know, that in chapter 16, and we went through all the seven bold judgments, and every unbeliever is covered, all the people of earth, the unbeliever, covered with incurable sores. I don't know if they were internal and external. I have no idea. Their bodies scorched from the sun. There's no water. There's no fresh water. Oh, loved one, listen, there's a darkness that's so intense during that time on those judgments that they would literally chew their tongues in two because of the pain and all the hailstones, the earth being completely rearranged. I sat down in my chair after, I didn't leave here till late, and I said to myself, if the rapture occurred today, would somebody in my family be left behind? Do you hear me? They're going to go into that. If there is someone that in my family or my friends or my coworkers or anyone, they're going to go into that if they don't know Christ. They're going to face that. They're going to go into all that hell upon the planet. Oh, and I went, oh God, it hurts me. It hurts me. They're going to face that. If the rapture does not occur in your lifetime, I want you to listen to me now. Some of your future lineage, some of my future lineage may end up going into the great tribulation. Does that bother you? I mean, if Pastor Tom, my son Thomas, if his children are the next, but they're from me. Does that make sense? They won't be in heaven with me. Man, I go, dear God, they'll be left behind, Lord. I'm going to say this to you. I say it, loved one, in love. You cannot continue in this generation to build your children's lives in Never Never Land. Do you understand? Never Never Land is not real. You know, you're supposed to be building your children and your family and your home on the rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. Do you understand? That's what it's all about. Listen, parents, I love you and I'm not mad at you. Don't take this wrong and go ahead, email me. Here's the email. It is merlinda@loveneverfails.com. Parents, if you are not right now, I'm talking to mamas and daddies and grandparents, you listen to me now. If you are not being obedient to prepare your children to be godly, then they're not ready for what's coming. They're not ready. You must train up and create a strong legacy right now. If that's not a priority in your life, loved one, then there is a problem. Listen, Revelation is yet future, and in that future is your lineage and my lineage. Do you understand? If we did that, loved one, listen, I want to write down exactly what I said. Parents, you must prepare your children now so your children can prepare their children, so their children can prepare their children, and then their children. Do you want a strong legacy? Do you think, listen, we don't live for the world. We're not of the world. And that should be one of your most important priorities is to make strong children, strong children. Let me tell you something. I love you. I love you. I love you. But weak, ungodly parents create weak, ungodly children. Don't sin against the truth. Don't sin against the truth of God's word. We are to be, children don't belong to us. They're from the Lord. They're God's reward to us. Amen. They belong to Him. We're stewards. We need, every family should be learning and trying and praying, become a strong, strong family. Loved one, Mystery Babylon, it's not a mystery. That system of worship, again, was not created in the Great Trib. You know, the Babylonian system is here right now. It's here right now. It started all the way back with Nimrod. And loved one, it has just grown and grown and growing. And listen, the great harlot has been preparing the apostate church for the last 2,000 years. Look at all the unbiblical things in the church today. Let's bring it up to modern times. Well, if you're not baptized in this church, you're not saved. That is an idol. Are you listening to me? If you don't speak in tongues, you're really not saved. You've never even received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is not Bible. It's a beautiful gift, but that's not Bible. That's an idol. We are the only church. And if you're not a member of this church, you're not saved. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from God. It comes from hell. Amen? It's an idol. It's a false system of religious worship. We are the ones, not those others. No, loved one, listen to me. Just think about how all the apostate church, the things that are happening right now. I mean, look at the manner of dress. Can you imagine? I'm not being critical, but how do you get all that junk on? No, I mean, really. I mean, what is it for? Where's it at in the Word of God? Did the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, did he dress like that? I'm not being critical of the dress. I'm just saying we have to open our eyes and walk in love and speak the truth in love, but we better know the truth because the truth is what's going to set you free. No, listen, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not man. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not Donald Trump. Oh, that shook somebody. Email me. I want you to email me. Listen, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not the Pope. He's a man. He's a kind man. I mean, he's an American. If Chicago's part of America, I mean, I don't know. But listen, it's about Jesus. He's our Savior. There's no one else. He is the only one, loved one. Listen, we have to open our eyes right now and stop being so comfortable. So many churches today, you know, I mean, think about it, they're so-called churches, but they're only filled, and I love them, I'm sorry, but they're filled with professing believers, but they have departed from the essentials of the Bible, of the faith, and the apostate church is already here. They're lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Do you follow me? Oh, listen, it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:7, don't let anyone lead you astray, because that day, meaning God's the day of wrath, it's not going to come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the rapture occurs before that, but the falling away is already in process. Falling away. It's not a falling away. There's a specific, the falling away. What falling away is that? What does it mean? It's the falling away from the truth of the Word of God, the essentials of the faith of Christianity found in the Word of God. And that's why it says, loved one, listen, it says in 2 Timothy 2:4, oh, Timothy, preach the word, be ready, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And now he says, he gives us the explanation, for the time will come, and it's already here, loved one, the time will come when they, professing Christians, they will not endure, they will not tolerate sound doctrine or healthy teaching, but according to their own desires, to suit their own taste, okay? Their own desires. It says, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We're here right now. Right now. Right now. That's where we are. Love, when Jesus told us, he said, listen, watch therefore. Oh, be alert. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour of your Lord's coming. He could come today. We have no excuse. A Christian has no excuse for not working with the strength of the Lord to create a strong family, to create strong children, strong little boys, strong little girls. Knowing what they believe, and when they grow up and they walk out of the home and into college, they can stand because they know the truth of God. And you were the examples to them. Does that make sense? though we need that today more than we've ever needed it before, loved one. Listen, if Jesus tarries, do you think that the next generation is going to be easier than this one? No, it gets harder. I've lived long enough. I see it. Every generation, it gets more wicked and more wicked and more lawlessness. It's going to continue. It's not going to get better. We have to stop now and do something about it in our families. There's only two churches left on earth. We've already learned that. You're either in the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love, the church that Jesus said you will escape the tribulation period. You'll be kept from the hour of trial. Or you're in the Church of Laodicea. Laodicea is not Jesus ruled. Laodicea is ruled by the people. They don't walk in the spirit. They walk in the flesh. They're not doers of the word. They're only hearers of the word. Do you understand? That's what Laodicea is all about. They don't even know their true spiritual condition. They sing songs and lift their hands, but they don't know Christ. Jesus said in Revelation 3:16, so then, because you are lukewarm, Laodicea, lukewarm because you're apathetic, you're indifferent. You have the Bible, but you don't believe the Bible. He said, because you're lukewarm, oh, you're neither cold or hot. He says, oh, listen, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You have no place in my spiritual body, Jesus says. No place. You don't belong to me. You make me want to throw up. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but he who doeth the will of God. For many will say unto me in that day, oh, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, do many wonderful works in your name, cast out demons in your name? And the Lord will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, for I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. Jesus did not condemn them for casting out devils or the wonderful works or even preaching. He condemned them because they did not belong to him. Amen? Amen. You have to belong to the Lord. It's interesting that John the Apostle, loved one, listen now, it's interesting, the book of Revelation that God gave to him. But he's also the author of the Gospel of John and three epistles of John. Amen? What was the last thing that John the Apostle wrote in 1 John 5:21? What was the last thing he told the church? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. What a word was that. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the wonderful rain. Lord, I pray I did your will. I pray I spoke your truth. I pray your people listened. Say, Father, I want heaven to be my home. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want to know the truth. I want to live the truth. And there's only one way. So right now, I confess with my mouth, oh, Jesus, be my Lord. And Father, I believe in my heart, you raised him from the dead, and you made this promise. If I will confess Jesus as Lord and truly believe it in my heart, you will save me. Father, I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Well, Revelation is an open book in which God reveals his plans and purpose to his church. John's prophecy is primarily the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of the future events. Remember, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Please join us next Sunday when Pastor Bill will continue his study of Revelation. Have a blessed week, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.